Alrighty. Hey, everybody. We are the Nonprofits, back again after missing an episode. Sorry about that, everyone. I'm your host, Jeff D. Our co-host is Dennis Lube.
Howdy.
Producer Russell Glasser.
Hello.
And our engineer, Matt Dillahunty.
Hello.
We are live, December 30, 2006, last episode of 2006. 2006. I can remember doing the TV show in 2000,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, wallowing all the crazy apocalypse predictions that were coming down. We're, like, blown completely past that now. It's 2006.
Yeah, we should have had a probe, a manned craft at Jupiter 5 years ago.
Good point. Right. And dug up that obelisk.
That's
on
right.
The moon.
Exactly.
And we've got 9 years to develop hoverboards.
Wow. All right.
Well,
then Mr. Fusion reactors.
The problem is that the impact of those films
mm-hmm.
has changed history.
Oh.
We got to stop making movies about the future because it changes it.
Or at least it makes us disappointed when it finally gets here.
Right.
We're broadcasting to you from the Dillahunty International Studios in Austin, Texas. Opening music today was Smart Patrol by Devo from their album Duty Now for the Future. The Atheist Community of Austin sponsors this show. It's a nonprofit educational organization promoting positive atheism and the separation of church and state. The ACA has weekly meetings at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings at Romeo's, 1500 Barton Springs Road in Austin, except for the first Sunday of each month when we have our lecture series. Lectures start at 12:15 at the Austin History Center at 9th and Guadalupe and are free and open to the public. The next lecture will be on January 7. The speaker is Robert Rock Howard, and his topic is Libertarianism, Philosophy, Religion, or What? Mr. Howard is the former chair of the Travis County Libertarian Party and was the Libertarian candidate for Texas State Senate in the most recent election. He serves as the legislative advisor for the Libertarian Party of Texas. I'm not a libertarian. I don't think we have any libertarians in the room, but we have them in the ACA.
Nope,
he's a member.
I'm contemplating going to pick a fight.
Are you?
But I'm not sure.
ACA Happy Hour takes place at Ninfa's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 183 in Austin every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. For more information, call our voicemail at 512-371-2911. That's the ACA voicemail, not specifically the nonprofits. Or visit the ACA website, www.atheist-community.org. I want to remind, and for everybody listening to the show, that we broadcast live every other Saturday from 2 to 3:30 Central Time, and if you like, you can listen live to our stream and get into the chat room and interact with other listeners and with us and stuff while we're going out on the air. Yes, Matt?
There's one other announcement with regard to the ACA. Beginning in February, all of our regular meetings will be held at Ventana del Sol on a three-month...
I'll update this when I get to that, but yeah. Yeah, that's a heads up. We're changing our venue. I already updated the lecture date and all that other kind of stuff. That wasn't on the website yet. I'm awfully mellow. This is terrible.
Wow.
Does not make good radio.
The war on Christmas is over and we can relax.
We won.
Yeah. It ended.
We took Christmas prisoner. And it's a waiting trial, and we're probably gonna execute it in a
by hanging.
Yeah, by
hanging.
Hanging.
Oh my.
Mission accomplished.
It's been a rollicking year.
Yeah.
Can we do like a little year in review kind of stuff? This being our
if you can remember
episode.
Anything, go for it.
Dave Barry always has a really funny year in review.
Well, I can't guarantee that ours is going
to
be funny.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, we try. But, a few things have happened this past year, which just, I think...
And relatively recently, as highlights go.
What do you mean?
Only, like, last month or so.
What?
Ted Haggard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The election.
The evangelists that begin with each month.
You're right.
All this wonderful stuff.
It's mostly good news. What is the worst news? Let's start there. What is the worst thing that happened in this last year as far as we atheists are concerned? What? Was there anything that terrible? I mean, I know there were news stories. Crazy shit happens
all the
time.
There's little stuff. I mean, Bush is interfering with science. So the Park Service can't tell you how old the Grand Canyon is because that might insult some people
ongoing problem.
Yeah,
but that's been going on for more than just this past year.
Right.
The Bush administration has been against science, apparently, since day one.
Yeah, I would say the rate of injustices against unbelievers has slowed down. I wouldn't say that it's...
I'm
not even just concerned about direct injustices against unbelievers, right?
Yes.
And that's going to go on until we completely crush religion.
Corruption. Under our iron boot.
I'll go hide under rocks. That's going to sort of dwindle off slowly. But, you know, just general cultural things about our culture being sick and insane because of religion, nothing really stands out as being that bad. I mean, I think, by my estimation, the worst thing that happened last year is I think people are forgetting about all the depredations of the Catholic Church. I think the Catholic Church is
succeeding
in
its
vanishing from the radar now.
Yeah, the outcry is diminishing. I mean, again, not completely. Those stories keep coming out periodically, but the outrage. Where's the outrage is
right.
What I want to know. What else? Okay, so...
And we got, you know, like famous books coming out from famous
authors.
Oh, yeah, getting into good news, right?
New stuff.
On the good news front.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Dawkins, Dennett, and Harris.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Hell of a trifecta.
Big, like, best-seller books about, you know, atheism good, theism bad.
Yeah, and it's like becoming temporarily popular. Even the theists are saying so. Although
people
they always say that atheism is more popular than it is to scare people.
Oh, yeah.
It was this year that creationism got its ass handed to it in Dover, right?
No.
That was last year?
It was...
End of last year?
I think it was the end of last year.
Okay.
Oh, my. It's been a while.
Or was it?
Still...
No, it was like April. I can't remember.
It was this year.
But there is one story I would like to talk about when we get there, which I just remembered, which is that the Discovery Institute is going around trumping up claims that the judge, that the brilliantly written opinion was entirely copied from ACLU briefs, which in fact it wasn't.
Right.
But we can get to that later.
They just did like word counts or something. It was weird.
Well, there's more.
They
to
did
it
Bible
than that.
Code on it.
Must now
process the judge's opinion enough ways that you can find these words.
No, there were a number of phrases and sentences and even paragraphs that were clearly taken directly from the ACLU proposed findings of fact.
But.
From this, they claimed that the entire opinion was based on it, when in fact the findings of fact section is for exactly that purpose. It's for the two lawyers. The lawyers on the opposing side say, this is what we want you to find as the findings of fact.
Uh-huh.
And it was like 5% of the entire document.
Right.
He took the findings of fact mostly from the ACLU and put it in as they had written it.
Were there any facts that the creationists wanted them to find that he in fact found?
Not that I know of.
Not even one?
So basically they were going around complaining, hey, that judge didn't agree with us about anything.
Oh,
damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo.
Nearly a year after the fact, all they can do is still whine.
So they claim that he's a plagiarist when, in fact, 95% of the opinion was his opinion based on what he had heard and his recap of the trial.
Right. So there was that. That's
that was good.
That's phenomenally good news. Dr. Dino in prison? Is he in prison now?
He is
yes,
blogging
he's
from
in
prison.
Jail, blogging, and friends are blogging on his behalf as well.
Uh-huh.
It's really kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, but he's in jail while this pedophile went free. They're picking out every case of somebody who got off on a technicality and saying, this guy is free. But
that's his defense. His only defense is, I'm not as bad as those other people.
Yeah. I'm not as bad as pedophiles. So I shouldn't be in jail.
On a personal note, of course, the ACA doesn't take a stance on this.
For right.
me personally, I'm pretty happy about the outcome of the election.
Yeah.
And I think that bodes well for the future, for the nearer term future.
With the caveat that we're all vaguely concerned about the slightly more theistic language that the Democratic Party is also trying to take sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of incidents, apparently, by Barack Obama that have us scratching our heads a bit.
Yeah, somebody who is being pimped as a potential next president. Everywhere I look, it's, you know, President Obama. You know, they're I guess, testing the waters, his team is. And yet, there are a number of occasions where he said stuff, and I just go, no. He's a huge proponent of faith. I think he'd back faith-based initiatives, just maybe not to the degree that the Bush administration has.
Right.
Yeah. Which is not to say that when it comes down to it, you should automatically vote against him. You should consider which candidate would be better on...
Or at least less bad.
Right.
Yeah, that's the choice we're presented.
And it's, you know, just to clarify this in a way which might make it more appropriate for an ACA-backed show,
yes.
It's the issue for me is not that one particular party be in power, right? Or even that one particular party not be in power. The issue is there's a particular party right now that's way over the line, egregiously violating the Constitution on issues that are important to us atheists. That happens to be the Republicans right now. Certainly could be the Democrats at some point. But when the party in power is doing that, and then they lose power, that is good.
Yeah. I can think of Democrats that I most probably, in some cases, most definitely wouldn't vote for, and I can think of Republicans that I actually would vote for.
And 100 years ago, the situation was almost flipped.
Yeah, almost exactly.
Right.
So,
right. In other good news, Ted Haggard.
Yes, that was just a present.
On the History Channel yesterday, they did a couple specials about hell, the history of hell, and fundamentalist movements and other things like that.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he was interviewed on all of these. These are documentaries that they've done over the past couple of years. And I was sitting over at Ashley and Kim's last night just talking, and it was on in the background, and his face kept popping up, and I just kept giggling.
Oh, because it was recorded before his problems happened.
And, as was the Jesus Camp.
About hell. Yeah.
Which, by the way, was the best documentary I saw this year.
Mm-hmm. What one?
Jesus Camp.
Jesus Camp.
Which, in other good news, closed its doors.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm not happy about the specific circumstances under which that happened. People should not have been vandalizing the place. Yeah. But can't say I'm sad to see it go. Okay, so, see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's hard
Not
to dredge up
year.
Any really particularly bad news for us. Anything new that's gotten worse. There are some bad things that have continued.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, of course, in Muslim countries, there's still beheadings and all this other stuff.
Sure,
all this
but again,
religiously
that's not,
motivated
that's not
violence
new.
And crap that's still going on this year. Yeah.
Well, the Muslim violence has arguably gotten worse steadily over the past couple of years. But
one would expect.
Has it?
I think so.
How would you know? I mean, what is the...
How would
well, I mean,
what
you
form
know,
is
there,
this worse violence taking? I mean,
well, like, for instance, there's the whole Civil War thing and the fact that this report from Britain declared that over 500,000... Iraqi citizens have died since the start of the war.
That's violence happening over there, but it's arguably our fault.
Yes. And that's bad news.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Fair enough. They're true. And war continues to go to get worse and worse.
And things like
but
I don't know.
I'll put that in the that is honestly in the bad news camp.
Cartoons, inciting violence.
Cartoons inciting violence. Yeah.
Worse. News outlets capitulating to threats of violence over cartoons.
Right.
All right. Yeah. That's bad. That was really bad.
Yeah, I think the publishing of the cartoons should go in the good column.
Absolutely.
The reaction to it.
They weren't really such great cartoons.
No. But it's ridicule. And ridiculing ridiculous ideas, I'm all in favor of.
Hey, yes.
Me too.
Russell did an excellent blog entry about that this year, which is one of the highlights of the year. It's one of the best things.
I think it was last year, actually.
Was it really?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. It was one of the favorite things that you've written.
Mock.
One of my favorite
Russell,
things.
You author.
Can you find it by actually just Googling mock in quotes?
I bet you probably could.
You probably could, yeah.
But I think one of my favorite news stories of this week that I actually commented on the Atheist Experience blog and on the Iron Chariots forum was that Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron have now designed a board game.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, boy. No,
I don't have a news story.
It's called
on
Intelligent Design versus Evolution.
Yeah.
And the premise is that every player has this little brain that is their player marker around the edge of the board. And then you collect brain cards as you go along disproving evolution, and the person with the most brains at the end wins, which I found to be so fucking ironic. I want to buy a copy of the game, probably from a bargain bin in about a month after nobody else buys it.
I think we could have great fun subverting the rules by basically reading the cards and predicting how they're going
to
mangle the
I'm
going
to submit a game design to them. It's going to be called Atheist Nightmare. And everybody's playing piece is going to be a little banana. And there will be banana cards. And each one will be a piece of information about a banana that proves that God created them.
I think there's only 11 in total.
And at the end of the game, the person who's gone the most bananas wins.
Oh.
What do you think?
Right.
The funny thing is that I think they'd actually consider that.
Well,
they conceded the banana argument this year.
That's
not true.
That
much
but
news.
I mean, that's a minor. That's a minor.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
Just
really.
Putting that in the good news column.
Well, the game is being sponsored or supported by Ken Ham, who's the creationist from Answers in Genesis.
Were you there, guy?
And when's he going to prison?
I don't know, but I imagine they picked him because Dr. Dino was a little preoccupied.
Well, the Christians did put out a computer
game. Is there a get-out-of-jail-free card in the Christians
game? Mail it to Hoven.
The Christians did put out a computer game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it bombed, which is good news.
Do we know that,
bombed.
In fact, it completely... I know
I
it got
know.
Bad reviews.
It's
did it, in fact, actually
reviews.
Bomb?
I don't know.
Are they losing
money? I guess
the
question is, did they lose money?
Do we know?
We
I don't know.
That.
I guess we heard from Matt that the game was heavily loaded with advertisements in the game. Or was that...
Oh, I think I mentioned
you,
that.
We heard it from you.
I read, but any of us might have known that.
So they probably made money.
Yeah, I mean, like, magazines lose money before ads. I mean, they don't make money from subscriptions.
Uh-huh. That's good. Yeah. Well, what else?
Gosh, it was last year.
I don't know, but if we go back another year, because you were mentioning, like, failed apocalyptical prophecies.
Yeah.
I remember this special, like, on Discovery Channel or something years ago. Probably it's like a 99 or 2000 special about the pyramids. And there is this, in the Great Pyramid, if you actually measure, like, the tunnel, the tunnel leads up to the Grand Gallery, and convert inches to a year.
Inches.
1 inch equals a year,
and
I think,
why
is,
would
the,
you do
is
that?
The measurement. Because they're fucking nuts. But... What they find is that
inches.
Is no, that right. There are markings and you know, like, openings in the ceiling that the gaps correspond to specific things. Like, there's a gap that's in the exact place that World War One would be, and it's exactly as wide as World War One is.
A gap in what?
In the ceiling.
Oh, in, like, between the stones and the
ceiling?
Yeah.
And so they charted this, and they used it as a calendar. Well, if you follow the thing up, there's this big pit at the end that goes down to the bottom. And they were saying that this was going to demonstrate the end of the world. And that if you calculated in inches, then it would be May 5th, 2005.
May 5th, 2005.
Yeah,
that
so
didn't happen.
We, still here. We passed that by a whole year, so maybe we're still just falling down the pit and we haven't realized it.
Inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
why would
you know,
the Egyptians build anything according to inches that didn't exist yet?
Dennis, they had to use inches because it didn't come out right in parsecs.
Right.
Or angstroms.
So all things considered, yeah, right, in nanometers.
They did it for the same.
All things considered, damn good year.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so mellow. And that's why this is going to be a terrible episode.
Well,
it's not just, it's you know, being mellow is not just bad for radio. I mean, we haven't, things are not good yet.
No.
Right?
No.
Where life still sucks for atheists in the United States and around most of the world.
Well, do you remember
Rush
Limbaugh came out and basically admitted he's been sort of faking it for the last 6 years?
I remember that.
He was like,
because he was complaining about how he had been faking it for the sake of helping a particular political party or a particular group of people
win. Yeah, which
win.
I guess reinforces the point that you need something to bitch about if you're going to have a good show.
Yeah, but we're not faking
this. Not that he was ever good, but...
We're not faking this, as far as I know. Anybody here faking it?
No.
No.
No, but see,
we need to continue, even though we've had all these like incredibly exciting successes in the past year. We cannot afford to mellow out like I'm doing.
That's right.
So this can't be. I mean, there's a lot more work to do.
We've got to get angry.
So let's see if we can find something
angry
that will piss me off.
The best atheists.
And now let's proceed with the rest of the show.
Hey, I've got more news that happened this year.
Oh, yeah?
Iron Chariots launched.
Oh, yeah.
Iron
Chariots.
And,
have you moved the...
What?
Yes, that's true. Iron Chariots. Well, let's proceed now with the,
all right.
with the regular show. Hi, everybody. We're going to proceed with the regular show now. The Secular Coalition's contest to find non-theist officials.
Uh-huh.
They're offering a $1,000 reward, and the deadline is tomorrow.
Ooh.
So, last chance, all you listeners out there, to win 1,000 big ones.
Right.
You must send in the name of the elected official who is an atheist.
Right.
Identify the office that they hold, give your name, address, and contact information. And then they're going to contact all these officials who they hear might be atheists and ask them for letters of confirmation.
And do they have to be able to say they identify with the actual word atheist?
You know, I don't know how.
I mean, because, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in God, but I don't want to call myself an atheist.
My guess is...
And what definition will they be giving for atheists?
I can't even say this is my guess. I tell you how I do it.
Yeah,
I'd say, do you believe that there is a God?
Ah.
I would just ask that, right? Simply yes, no question, without a label. But I don't know what they're planning on doing. The rules and entry form for the Find an Atheist, Humanist, Freethinker, Elected Official contest can be found at www.secular.org/contest, and they will announce the winner in January.
Cool.
And that's it for announcements. I got nothing else.
Okay.
Wacky. If you out there know of any events or groups or websites that you think deserve mention on our show, please let us know, because we're, like, out now.
Are you saying that convention in India finally...
Yes, oh, yes, that's over.
Wow!
They had their...
We don't hear about that.
World Atheist... what was that even? That was Humanist?
Yeah, something.
I don't remember
whatever
now.
It was. I wasn't going. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention.
Another development, Center for Inquiry opened in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
That was news.
It's good locally. for all of our atheist
And did the Point of Inquiry podcast, in fact, start this year?
Now, wait a minute. Let's back up a second, because that might be misleading. No building opened in Austin, Texas that with a big sign on it that says...
Okay, I was wondering.
That says, Center for Inquiry Austin.
Right.
Right. A group started, a local group called a CFI Community Austin started.
Correct.
Ah. And I'm sure there's information all over the web.
And through a really nice party.
Them. Yeah. If you know of any other stuff that we should announce, please let us know by emailing nonprofits@atheist-community.org. You can use that same email address to send us, like, you know, listener mail and stuff, too. Okay, mailbag. Catherine writes, responding to the story we were talking about where a Christian group went to the Marines, were giving out gifts at Christmas time with Jesus dolls. And the Marines said no, because these would not be appropriate for non-Christian kids. And then the Marines
changed their mind
and said, it's not 100% clear from what I heard. It sounds like they decided that they had figured out a way of getting the Jesus dolls only to kids who were already in Christian families, which is how I should say it. I shouldn't say Christian kids, because Dawkins will smack me upside the head.
That's right.
Catherine writes, you mean some poor child will be expecting a holiday toy and will get a talking Jesus? Isn't that child abuse? Well, Richard Dawkins would probably say yes. On the other hand, is this the Marines of Toys for Tots fame way of training future Marines? Exactly what response are the Marines hoping for from these youngsters after a seemingly endless stream of religious platitudes coming from talking Jesus? Well, again, if they resolved this by identifying... households Christian parents to send those to, then you can't really blame the Marines for the kids in those families being steeped in Christianity. If that was the solution, we don't know 100% for sure. That's what it sounded like to me.
Comments? I don't see it as a recruiting tool like come join the Marines in 18 years. I don't think that's what they're aiming for. Anyway,
right.
At least not in the way that the America's Army game is explicitly for recruitment.
And it wasn't
purposes.
The Marines' idea. This Christian group came to the Marines and said, "You're going to give out toys. You do this every year. Here's these talking Jesus dolls to give out."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wasn't the Marines saying, "Hey, let's do this"? So yeah, it's probably not fair to accuse them of having come up with the idea.
I got a Jesus action figure for Christmas.
Does talk.
No,
does
it doesn't talk.
However, we have ways of making
however,
it talk.
It came with the deluxe Jesus action figure, and it came with 5 fish and 2 loaves, and it came with a jug, a little plastic jug that on the top of it, it's blue for water, and you can turn it over, and it's red for wine, so you can...
See, that's a cool toy. I like things
and
that change
its
color.
Its hands glow in the dark.
So it's like E.T. Jesus.
Yes.
Wow.
Leper comes up to him and he goes, "Ouch." Touches him with his glowing hands.
Wow. And you didn't bring him in.
No, I should have. I should have.
We need a
photo. See, I'm kind of lenient about playthings. Because, I mean, I'm kind
of
lenient in general
about anything
that can be interpreted as just treating the Bible as a fantasy world.
Right.
Because, you know, I wouldn't complain about a kid getting a...
Spider-Man
doll.
Right.
On the grounds that there is no Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man, I think, would be more fun than Jesus, because Jesus can't stuff like jumping around.
The bread loaf should have been one of those little tablets you put in water and it grows
to
500 times its size. So you can feed a multitude with it.
That would be appropriate.
Multitude of action figures.
Okay, Eric writes, I was thinking about this yesterday. Sometimes when discussing Christianity, I look at the details instead of the big picture.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
The details are hilarious.
I do. It's like a car.
God created the vastness of the universe just for human beings in 7 days, but he planted a bunch of evidence to make it seem like humans are the product of 2 billion years of evolution, and the universe is 14 billion years old. After making his paradise just for humans, he stuck in 2 completely innocent humans and snuck in a tree that they couldn't eat from, along with a snake to tell them to eat from the same tree. After eating from the tree, God got pissed off and decided they and every generation should share in their misdeed. After many generations and some weird giant inbreeding, right, because there were giants in those days, God decided that the free will thing wasn't working out and did a do-over. There was one decent guy in the world, so he decided to have him make a giant ark and stick 2 of every kind of animal in it along with his family. Then God created a bunch of water to kill everything and then took the water away. Oddly, this went unnoticed by some civilizations who were around at the time. After a lot of inbreeding, the world was repopulated and God selected a small group of people to his special group. He got his people freed from Egypt and had them wander around in the desert until their generation died off. The new generation of God's people then slaughtered a bunch of people God apparently created to have his people take the land from. God's people kept worshiping statues, and God had to visit them with plagues as well as have other people conquer and exile them. Sometimes, when God was getting carried away with punishing his people, a prophet or priest would talk him out of it by sacrificing an animal with no defect. Despite the plagues and getting conquered and exiled, his people just weren't figuring out how much God loved them. So God decided to take a new approach and make a virgin pregnant with his son, who is also him. His son did lots of miracles to get people to believe that he was his son, and revised some rules that God, slash he, used to say, carried a death sentence. Then he got tortured and executed to let everybody else have a shot at eternal life, somehow. After 3 days, he undied, did an encore, and ascended to heaven to be with himself. Now he said that he would return before the current generation died, but he didn't, so he must have been using a different generation, a different definition of generation. Why he does come back, I guess when he does come back, there will be 1,000 years of peace, and then the whole thing ends, but all the people who believe the story get to live forever in paradise, which is apparently living with all of their family members who are not getting tortured at the time. If some people commit the crime of thinking that this story from a 2,000-year-old book of inconclusive authorship might be a myth like every other religion, they have to be tortured for all eternity. People who have never even heard of this book or have been raised in other traditions also have to be tortured for all eternity. People who murder, rape, torture, or whatever can live forever in paradise if they just say that they're sorry. God does this because he loves us so very, very much. I just don't get it.
Actually, I think you get it perfectly. Woo!
Thank you, Eric, for that beautiful Reader's Digest condensed version of the Bible.
That was amazing.
Should
I be required
that
reading.
Greatly, yeah.
I think Eric should make a video of that and post it on YouTube.
Yes.
Ah!
Is it Drogdor? Are you drawing?
What?
I thought maybe you were drawing Drogdor.
Okay, this is a visual, which I'll have to explain to our listeners.
Yeah, right.
I have a pen here. And my printouts of the listener mail, when I'm done with something or a news story, I cross it out with a pen.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been watching Heroes, and on Heroes there's this weird DNA kind of symbol, and I drew it wrong, but I crossed
it
out,
exactly,
and then I
what you were doing.
Side spur things to make it look like that.
And here I thought you were drawing Trogdor.
Not that funny, especially now that I've explained it. What?
I thought you were drawing Trogdor.
Trogdor?
Trogdor the Burninator.
No,
I'll have to show you later.
www.trogdor.com.
No, it'd be it's one of Strongbad's creations.
Burninator.
Oh.
Cool.
Corey at the University of Minnesota wrote, "I love the show. Thanks for all the inspiration you give to your listeners. It's nice to hear people talk about morals, ethics, and reason without spewing a bunch of superstitious crap. Keep up the good work." Dude, stop thanking us, because that's bad karma. Like, like telling somebody to have a good appearance on stage. You should say break a leg.
Break a leg, right. And don't walk under any ladders, man. I mean,
don't you guys know it's bad luck to be superstitious?
Corey also sent us a couple of news stories, which we may get to later if we have time for news.
There's always time for news.
It's like Jell-O. News is like Jell-O.
There's always room for news.
N-E-W-S.
N-E.
Jeremy from Houston.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Marty, quite finished?
Yes.
We had a little talk about trying not to talk over each other more, and I just talked over Dennis. Because he didn't stop.
Because I talked over you.
My turn.
No.
Jeremy from Houston writes, I have listened to your show for about the past 6 months or so, and it is brilliant.
Wow.
Let's read that again. I have listened to your show for about the past 6 months or so, and it is brilliant.
Let's just bask.
We're a Guinness commercial. Yeah. Brilliant. No profits.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Thanks, but he's not done. Oh. Thanks for providing insightful commentary and casually infusing the term asshat into your show. Like just then, when I was reading his letter and he happened to say asshat.
That's right.
And now I repeated it.
Making you an asshat.
Does it?
No.
And thousands of people across the world are taking their first drink.
No, I said asshat earlier on the show.
Oh, damn. Did you? When did you say asshat?
I asked if those other skeptical shows said asshat.
Oh, you
did?
I
missed
it.
The one that bleeps out the profanity.
I missed it. They have not said asshat, as far as I know, because, like, that,
they edit it out.
Yeah, Skeptics Guide to the Universe edits their show before broadcast.
Yes.
They might say asshat all the time.
Wait, were we talking about that before the show?
Yes.
Shoot,
that's why.
I didn't even say it on the show.
No wonder I couldn't
Never
remember
mind.
You saying it.
We discussing other atheist podcasts, of which there are many.
Well, the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe is not strictly an atheist podcast. Oh,
but it's good they're not as brilliant as ours.
I don't know that.
It's a good podcast.
Well,
I recommend it. Anyway, back to talking about the word asshat.
Yes.
Where were we? Oh, yeah, so Jeremy said that. So let's go on. I wanted to let you know that I have linked your site and my to my own website, www.goingchurching.com.
Wow.
My site critiques modern religion and places of worship. One of our main objectives is to attend local churches and critique their practices, providing a review of the establishment's beliefs and experiences on our site for the rest of the world to read. We also review internet churches and TV church sermons that we encounter. Our latest post was an investigation that I did into the Church of Scientology.
Ooh, gutsy.
I attended a couple of sermons and had a Q&A session with the pastor of the church and some of his higher-ranking members.
How much money did it cost him? Oh, sorry.
He doesn't say. That's a good question.
And is he being contacted by their lawyers?
I have talked to Matt in the past about potentially sharing some of his experiences with our site, and I would like to extend the invitation to the rest of you. Now, Matt, you went to a church and did a review.
Russell and Jenny went with me.
And was this before you heard from Jeremy from Houston?
Yeah, actually, it was after I talked about it on the TV show. Yeah. Jeremy evidently listened to the Atheist Experience podcast as well and emailed and said, hey, if you do this again, you know, you can contribute to the site. Unfortunately, I have so much shit going on that I haven't been back to church.
You know, you're not going to
say, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of criticism from us on that point.
I'm kind of a glutton for punishment in that way, in much the same way that, you know, I don't need to know everything about Christianity. This comes up a lot as, you know, it feels odd as an atheist. I know so much about Christianity, or I have to defend myself against Christianity. I don't have to do that. I enjoy it. I'm not an expert, but I'm a bit of a buff on early Christianity and biblical canon and the history of the church and these changes. I also like going to churches because I don't want to necessarily misrepresent Christians. I want, if I can get a broad
only when
base.
It's funny.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I could sit in here and talk shit about Fred Phelps every week, but Fred Phelps doesn't remotely represent what the average Christian's learning in church. And what I found in the church that I went and visited, one of these mega churches, was that it was like going to a really lame audio-visual pop-rock concert.
And you were a glutton
true.
For punishment.
Yeah.
You're like a submissive with regard to church. You just hire, you know, a sexy brunette in minister's garb to come over and inflict religion on you.
You got a number I can call? We had Mormons stop by the house the other day.
Did you?
Oh.
How'd that go?
Oh, it pissed me off so bad.
Why?
I was playing World of Warcraft, because I've switched games.
And
hooray!
My roommate
comes
over.
And you couldn't stop and defend the world against religion because you had to finish your level.
I didn't get a chance to. My roommate comes over and he goes, "You'll never believe who was just at the front door." And I was like, maybe the police, a bill collector, is somebody selling something? He's like, "No, Mormons." And I'm like, "Cool, where are they?" And he's like, "I told them I was an atheist and they were wasting their time and I shut the door on them." And I was like, "You dumbass, I've been waiting for years for these guys to come over the house. And I want them to sit
you
down
would have
in
set
chair.
Aside World of Warcraft.
I would have logged out. Because I want them to tell me about, you know, their mystical alien gods from other planets and their holy underwear and Joseph Smith was called a prophet. Dum 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 dum.
I don't think they tell you that on the first date.
I figured out how to make a character costume that looks like a costume piece that looks like a clerical collar on City of Heroes.
Sweet.
And so I made Clergyman on City of Villains. And now, he has thugs and handguns.
Cool. Now, and I can testify to Matt's knowledge, because I came over to the studio on the day that we didn't have the show.
Right. About 2 weeks
ago. And just talked to Matt and learned stuff that I'd had wrong all these years.
Oh.
Like, I thought Paul was one of the apostles. Boy, what a dumbass.
Well, see, he was an apostle. He wasn't one of the disciples.
Disciple. I can't get those two words straight.
I confused those same two words on the TV show with the same issue about Paul a couple weeks ago. I felt like a real dumbass when I did, but corrected it.
Was there a disciple named Paul who was a different Paul?
No.
For a while, I've been confused on that.
Once upon a time, I could list all 12 of the disciples, but I can't anymore.
Happy, dopey, sleepy.
Grumpy. Rudolph.
Tinky Wink.
And Gandalf.
Pikachu. All right. Jeremy says, if we have any critical reviews of sermons that we've heard, debates we've been part of, or just religious topics in general, we could contact his site and put them on the site. I don't plan on going to church. I just don't find it to be that fun.
No, that one time, but that was enough.
I'm not up that early on Sunday.
Well, I kind of put out a challenge to viewers.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, if you think your church is really representative of what you think we need to know about Christianity, tell me, invite me to your church, and I'll be happy to come when I can.
Well, let's put out a challenge to our listeners on this show.
No.
Consider going to a church and writing up a review and posting it on goingchurching.com.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
It can be fun, and there's lots of hot chicks there.
Should make a hidethebible.com for my game that I like to play.
Hide the Bible.
You know about Hide the Bible, right?
I've heard you talk about it. I'm drawing a blank.
I travel a lot, going to like conventions and things, and when there's a Gideon's Bible, I find a place in the room where I can hide it.
Do you put warning stickers in it?
I don't steal it. No, because here's the thing.
You don't want people to
find it. This is written up on my blog, and people can read the whole thing, but in a nutshell, I don't want to take it. It's not my property, right? But I certainly don't like the idea of them inflicting this on people. I know that they will get another one. I have heard from and replace it, but that's all right. In fact, I've heard from other people who have played Hide the Bible only to find a Bible already hidden at the place they tried to hide theirs. And it seems to me at some point in the future, they're going to be like moving a dresser or something and find these Bibles back there, and they're going to go, "We've got too many Bibles." And that's the point.
Yeah.
They have too many Bibles. In
We always play it. Last time in Thanksgiving, I was about to check out of the hotel room when my stepdaughter Samantha said, "Hey, we haven't hidden the Bible yet. We can't leave."
It can be challenging sometimes to find a place, because a lot of like the hotel furniture is sort of engineered that you can't get inside it. Like, you take the drawers out and it's not empty. There's like a little solid sleeve that the drawer goes into, so there's no room to hide stuff. It can be tricky.
Cool.
He says, even if you are not interested, I wanted to say I appreciate the work you all do. I will keep listening as your podcasts are an integral part of my work day. Thanks again, and if you wouldn't mind, let your listeners know about www.goingchurching.com. I think we've done that.
Yeah.
Chris from Maryland says, this guy was on the Infidel Guy show many months back and now has a great website, www.ministerturnsatheist.org, all one word.
Minister Turns Atheist.
Yes, he's a Dan Barker-like guy, former fundamentalist minister who he's got the story of his conversion, which is surprisingly similar to Dan Barker's of... during the day going around spouting the dogma and during the night agonizing over how it didn't make sense and reading and trying to put the pieces together in a way that it would fit until he just couldn't stand it anymore.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference between my route and their route is that at the time when things started to not make sense, I stopped any talking about it.
Right.
I just basically said, I'm no longer going to publicly be religious. I need to sort this stuff out. I need to figure out what's what and why this shit doesn't make any
sense.
You
weren't, in fact, actually a minister at the time.
No.
Yeah, that's the big difference.
I wasn't, in fact, a minister ever.
But that's what fun. Right. But during the time of your conversion.
Yeah, but there were times when I would be open about my religious beliefs and witness and do all the things that Christians do and try to win people to Christ and
that a non-believer ever was to you while you were doing that?
Oddly enough, nobody was ever rude.
Wow.
Most people, and I did. It's not like I walked around picking people. It's
right.
If in a conversation the subject comes up, then you talk and you go down the line.
Right.
And usually people will sit there and quietly ignore you or listen and or pretend to listen, and then just be nice and say, you have your beliefs and I have mine. And
www.ministerturnsatheist.org. Yeah.
I will say that one thing that disappoints me, I wasn't disappointed that people weren't nasty or mean.
Yeah.
Nobody challenged me. And the entire time that I was a Christian, and I wasn't rabidly witnessing, there were just a handful of occasions where I would talk to somebody. Nobody ever challenged me. Nobody pointed out any contradictions. Nobody pointed out any dogma problems. Nobody pointed out why this just doesn't make sense. They just would nod and say, yes, I hear what you're saying, but it's not for me, type thing.
Strangely immune from criticism.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
It's become so much a part of our society that you just don't question religion. If somebody's got some stupid belief, you let them have it and you don't,
Do you ever even get the impression that, man, this guy's got a lot of stuff he wants to say, but he's trying to be polite and not argue with me?
I don't think I ever ran across anybody like that.
Huh. Interesting.
Which is why I want the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness to come knock at my door.
I wonder if there's just like a number you can call. Hey, I'd like you to send a guy over.
I bet you could. I know that if somebody ever called any of the churches I was in, if you put your name in the offering plate on Sunday, Monday night was visitation, and we'd go out and visit all those people who actually put their name in there. But if anybody actually called the church and said, I need somebody to come minister to me, they'd send them out. That's an obligation for a lot of churches.
And they could ask them if they do, birthdays and stuff.
I'll be here all week. Thanks. Good night, Cleveland.
Woo! Best audience in the world.
Brandon writes, I am an Army officer at Fort Hood and an atheist. Prior to going to Afghanistan, I was a quasi-Christian and a conservative Republican. Sometime during my year serving my country and facing life and death situations, I embraced my inner atheist and became libertarian.
Wow.
Okay.
And that to me...
That's an improvement.
Libertarian often goes along with atheist. We can sit here and complain that we don't agree politically with libertarians, but fact is, there's a lot of crossover there.
See, I'm just impressed. This seems the reverse of what you would expect. People in life and death situations, that old myth about no atheists in foxholes.
Right.
We all know that that's false. There are atheists in foxholes. But even in my mind, I have this idea that people who are religious aren't likely to lose their religion in life or death situations. They're more likely to embrace it more.
My wife and I homeschool our children, but for different reasons. My wife is a hyper-Christian and a zealot, and she focuses on teaching the truth about God. I focus on the fundamentals of math, science, reading, etc. We totally disagree with each other's beliefs, but we have an understanding. We have equal face time with the kids and with our beliefs. I let my wife take them to church and teach them about God, and I teach them about the scientific method, rational thought, and the importance of critical thinking. As of now, my kids believe in God, but they also believe in dinosaurs, evolution, and the Big Bang. I hope that eventually they will analyze the information and come to their own conclusions about religion. I don't want them to be atheist because I am, or Christian because their mother is. I want them to think for themselves and make their own decisions. I can't listen live, nor can I participate in the chat log because of my work schedule. I do listen to your archived shows. It is okay to bash my homeschool system on the air if you feel compelled to. You're actually more likely to go after your libertarianism, but... But we'll talk about this in a second. But it works in my situation, and I encourage atheist-slash-Christian homeschool families to adopt a similar approach if they don't want a divorce. I can't find fault with that kind of advice. If you are already homeschoolers, and one of you is a believer and one of you is not, you damn right ought to come to some agreement about both of your views being represented to the kids.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Yeah. My situation is actually a little different in that Jenny and I agree with each other ideologically, but she believes in homeschooling and I don't really.
And I don't either. I'm critical of the entire homeschooling concept, and here's why. It is a fact that the vast majority of people pushing for homeschooling are religious fundamentalists trying to remove their children from a standardized education system that helps us all get along.
Right.
That is just a fact.
And my opinion is simply based on the fact that the more people you come in contact with, the better rounded you are as an individual.
Right, that's largely why it helps us get along. And and to me, agreeing to, I understand those people who object to the public school system because it has been doing a bad job. But that wasn't always the case, and that is fixable. And to me, it seems like agreeing that we ought to take our kids out of public school and put them in private schools or homeschool them is just a concession. It's surrender to the goals of the religious right.
And it's segregation.
In a way,
de facto.
I can't argue with the. You know, I'm not going to go to somebody who's homeschooling their kids and say you're segregating your kids when their argument is, look, my local public school sucks.
Right, right.
And I want my kid to get a good education.
And to be fair, a lot of homeschoolers have sort of an exchange program where a group of them teach various subjects. I've heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I just think it's odd that embracing homeschooling, that abandoning public schooling is just given in to the goals of the religious right and ultimately will be counterproductive. That's my opinion.
My uncle and aunt in Dallas, who have 6, 7, or 8 kids, I can't even ever remember, and I really feel bad about that, but they've, I love them all the same. They've homeschooled, but they only homeschooled up to, the high school years, and then they put them in public schools because they felt that,
For high school.
Yes.
Grade school is.
So that, they'd be able to better prepared for college. They'd be able to interact socially with other kids, rather than being at home. And
that early enough. I mean, if I don't know when it is developmentally that kids need to start socializing with other.
See,
kids.
My thing is, send them to public school. And teach them the things that you want to teach them.
Oh yeah,
you
absolutely.
Can always do more.
And I full disclosure here, I don't have kids, and Matt doesn't either.
Dennis never will, right?
And I never will. I've had an operation to make sure of that. But
he used to be a girl, baby.
So it's I completely confess that it's quite easy for me to sit here and say, to parents who are concerned about their kids getting a quality education, that for the sake of society, they should grit their teeth and accept public school if it's doing a bad job, right? I mean, I have freedom to say that actual parents may not have, and I completely understand how they can feel differently about it. Right?
I try not to give parenting advice in general because this comes off sounding really lame.
I'm not giving parenting advice.
I'm giving, political, ideological, culture war advice, right? And do that with that what you will.
I do think that he's made the best of the situation with them homeschooling and them coming to, and his religious views have changed. With his religious views having changed and then homeschooling, he's come to an agreement that seems to be, while I'm opposed to the indoctrination of kids into religion, I'm in favor of teaching them about religion. And this type of situation may strike a sort of balance that could be beneficial in the long run, depending on what they're teaching and how.
Right.
So I'm not going to...
Isn't there some famous person who went on record recently saying that he was against religious indoctrination of children that we have a news story about?
I don't think we actually have a news story
on
it.
Can we just hear a synopsis from memory?
Shortly before I came on the show, I ran through my blog rolls and noticed that Richard Dawkins was coming under fire, apparently for having signed some online petition.
Your blog rolls?
Toilet
paper in Britain is a bog roll. Just, you want to be careful about that term.
Never heard of that.
Yes.
So I was going through reader.google.com, which I use to read all my blogs, and I will shamelessly plug it because it's a great site. And so I discovered Dawkins taking some heat for having signed an online petition saying that, was it in Britain or America? Do you know?
It was in Great Britain. It's actually a test run system for people to submit petitions directly to 10 Downing Street.
It's
a way for them to address the government.
The petition said that parents should not be allowed to indoctrinate their kids with religion before the age of 16. And this struck a lot of people as very scary and a bad idea because, what's indoctrination and how is this different from a law that would say parents are legally forbidden to teach their kids about atheism? And Dawkins, a couple of minutes before I left, I found that Dawkins had basically recanted and posted a reply to this saying, I'm sorry, I didn't read the petition carefully, and my bad.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to sign it.
He needs to have his name be removed.
Having just read The God Delusion, which Matt lent me, I still find myself not completely in agreement or not sure what Dawkins is trying to get at when he says that religious indoctrination is child abuse. And I'm still not really happy with that part of the book.
I happen to agree with him.
Yeah, I know.
It's just really hard to define, which is why I couldn't possibly support the petition.
I don't think Dawkins should be writing in his book that it's child abuse if he's not willing to sign a petition that, in effect, treats it like child abuse.
Well,
you would damn well sign a petition that said parents are not allowed to abuse their children until age 16. You damn well would sign that.
Well,
so if it's abuse, it's abuse. If it's not abuse, it's not abuse.
Let me clarify his wording a bit.
I have the whole thing.
What he says in his book, I think, is not teaching your kids about religion is child abuse. It's you shouldn't call a kid a Christian child because they're too young to know any better. And if you foist a religion on them like that, then that's child abuse.
Okay.
And somebody on this blog, on this very blog post, made the point that, well, would you call a kid an English kid or an American kid? You know, they're too young to have read the Declaration of Independence or the Magna Carta.
Doesn't matter if they ever read it. They're born a citizen of the country.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
A more accurate analogy would be, would you call a kid a Republican kid or a Democrat kid?
Yeah.
Until they've actually made up their mind about it. I have the post that Dawkins made.
But I also wouldn't call it child abuse to do it.
Well, there are degrees of child abuse, and we have a society where we are more and more willing to let the government intrude on what would normally be a parent's right to raise their child however they want. Children are generally considered property for all intents and purposes, and parents have pretty much free rein. We have gradually started to say, no, you can't do whatever you want with your kid. We're opposed to physical child abuse, and we're becoming more and more opposed to mental child abuse, allowing
right.
the government to step in.
There have been cases like that Jehovah's Witness family that didn't want to let their daughter have a blood transfusion.
Christian Science.
That one
was probably Jehovah's Witness. But
no,
Christian Scientists, they've actually killed their kids, essentially, mm-hmm. by refusing medical treatment.
Ironic that you bring that up.
And the government allows them to do this. It's been tried.
Over the weekend, or I guess not over the weekend, or during the week, I was exploring MySpace, where I now have a MySpace page, search for Jeff D. or Unigames, which is the name of my game company.
Am I in your top eight?
Yes. Tell Jenny to accept my MySpace invitation, because she apparently has not been back to MySpace for about a month. All kinds of people from the ACA are in there, and I've got Reverend Ivan Stang from the Church of the Subgenius, and there's a guy who does a James Randi page, though I don't think James Randi himself actually runs it. I discovered a blog where there's an ongoing discussion about creationism versus evolution. And it's actually on a MySpace page that has to do with some reggae band.
It's
been interesting that these are like Rastafarian kind of Christians objecting to evolution. So I posted some comments about
it didn't come from no monkey.
And then this woman posts something saying, basically, can't we just all get along? Can't we agree to simply disagree and not
I hate that
argue
phrase.
And not argue with each other and try to get other people to see that they're wrong? And my response was, well, I think the answer is no, because, for example, Christian Scientists and Jehovah's Witnesses that will deny necessary medical care to their kids.
The example that I used when I was replying on the blog, consider the group Prussian Blue. Blonde-headed white separatist kids. They've been indoctrinated from childhood.
Child abuse to call them white separatist kids.
No, they are.
How old are they?
Doesn't matter. Okay. The point is that they are because they've been indoctrinated.
Uh-huh.
But that's the problem. You've got these kids who, before they were old enough to know any better, had their minds polluted by a religious doctrine that establishes that whites are supreme and others are inferior, much the way that Mormonism used to be, although they've avoided doing that recently.
Uh-huh.
And now they're singing these hate songs,
yep.
And they're little girls. That, to me, is fucking child abuse. All day, all the time, I'll say it everywhere. It's hard to define what you can and can't teach your kids and what ideas you should and shouldn't be able to pass on to them. But that, to me, destroying a mind, because when you're a parent, I mean, a kid's mind is malleable. You can mold that kid to be whatever you want. And what we're seeing is people, although they have the best intentions and they believe that they're correct and they believe that they're passing on the truth, are basically performing psychological and sociological experiments with their kids. They don't realize that that's what they're doing, but essentially they're trying to see how fucked up of a kid we can possibly generate.
Can I got to throw something out there. You know that YouTube video that's also gone around about the little girl who's
reporting
been,
to Bill O'Reilly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's been, had, who clearly is reading from a script and is spliced together saying the words
yeah.
so that it sounds like she's saying it all in
but
one breath.
But the effect of that is very much like many other YouTube posts from young girls that videotape themselves telling about their lives and their stories and stuff. So I,
yeah,
I
but
that,
I mean,
you're
I don't
right,
think
you're right,
at
I'm
this
sure,
age, I
I'm,
don't think
but
that at this age...
I recognize that as part of the parody.
Right.
Okay. So
but
on.
I don't think that at this age, this little girl really understands...
She's probably not doing
Bill
the splicing
O'Reilly.
Herself.
Yeah. No, but I don't
she
think she knows
herself.
Enough about the heavy philosophical
okay.
issues
all right,
that have been
I'll
scripted
stop.
For her.
I'll stop interrupting. Please go on.
I had the same objection to the video.
Yeah.
I watched it, and at first I was like, well, that's,
can we,
you know, that's
by the way,
neat.
Can we get a tiny URL for that in the chat room?
Sure.
I mean, I'll just ask the people in the chat room to find that, because I'm sure they know what I'm talking about.
It's listed as, like, the world's smartest seven-year-old or something.
Yeah.
But it's so obvious. I mean, she didn't write that. She didn't come up with that. Those aren't her original thoughts.
Right.
And to me, I have just as much objection to that as I do to other
well,
forms of indoctrination.
I think I think we can... Okay, there's the difference between some kid reciting something and some kid who's expected to actually believe what they're saying.
True.
And, you know...
My guess is that those parents would probably very much like their daughter to believe what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have a band, mm-hmm. like a mom and dad, or apparently a two-person band, and they've got a bunch of their... I listened to their songs. They have an interesting sound, but unfortunately I can't say that it's actually good. But they're very counterculture, sarcastic, odd sort of fringe folks, which is fine. I don't know. I mean, there's I brought up the post that I made on MySpace, but there, that woman was only asking, can't we stop trying to convince each other? To which my answer was no.
Right.
The further question is, can we justify actually intruding in these people's lives? At what point, or can we ever do that, or if there is a point when we can, where is that point?
Well, the main...
When it's physical abuse, it's clear.
Yeah.
It's mental abuse, it's not so clear.
But it seems like these people that inculcate their kids into, you know, the brainwash their kids, basically they view their children as the means to an end.
Oh, sure. You did see Jesus Camp, right?
Right.
Those kids
yeah.
are a means to an end.
Right. And
they
want to
conquer the planet by indoctrinating their kids.
When you do that, I think you're abusing your kid if you use them as a means to an end. You're not viewing him as a kid anymore. You're viewing him as a means to an end.
All throughout history, people have viewed their kids as a means to an end, even if the end was only you're going to inherit the lands and carry on the tradition,
yeah.
right? Carry on the family business.
Yeah, well, it's hard to find a line, and it's hard to define the points where you can intrude and where you can't intrude. I just happen to think, I think this petition was... putting the cart before the horse and completely impractical and unreasonable, but I think that in general we should be expanding, I hate to say this because it's going to sound bad, but expanding how and when we can interfere to kind of broaden the definition of what qualifies as abuse, because not every person who's teaching their kid religious things, I don't think that's abuse in every case, and I don't think Richard Dawkins does either.
I think I would go at it from the other end. Rather than going directly at the mechanisms that we've got for intruding into people's lives and expanding them, I think that what Dawkins and Harris and Dennett and others and us have been doing in simply raising consciousness about the danger of religion, the dangerous consequences of religion, could very well, in and of itself, help solve the dilemma by leading to a more general understanding of how much indoctrination and what kind of indoctrination is wrong and too much.
I'd like to throw out something which is very integral to the Center for Inquiry's mission, which I heard discussed by, I think, Jeff Jones, who's the local director there, which is basically that people didn't overcome systemic racism and sexism by ultimately passing laws against them. They turned things around by making it not cool to be a racist or a sexist. So these right. days, even someone who is really a racist deep down is embarrassed to admit it, and is
mostly not those girls.
Yeah. Right, but, I mean, those girls are on the far end of the bell curve.
Right, right.
And I'm also reminded of something that happened, a story I heard, which was basically that the Ku Klux Klan, when it was at the height of its power, one of the things that happened was that somebody infiltrated them and learned all their secret passwords and handshakes, and he was a friend of the producers of the old Superman TV show.
Yeah.
And there were a series of episodes where Superman fought the Ku Klux Klan, and the bad guys were represented as very buffoon-like people who were actually using the legitimate and correct secret stuff that you're not supposed to know about within the Klan. And they looked like idiots. I mean, little kids were going around doing the Klan secret handshake, which was no longer a secret. And they faded into obscurity because nobody took them seriously anymore.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with that strategy.
Well,
that,
ridicule.
That simply raising awareness to the actual implications and hazards and dangers of all this stuff is what we ought to be spreading. Yes, Matt.
And that's pretty much the conclusion I came to in the response that I was doing. Martin and I were having a discussion about this before we got the information that Dawkins had recanted. And the final thing that I had said was, while I can't support this petition and I'm not in favor of excessive intrusion into how parents raise children, I do think it's time to broaden the scope of that intrusion just a bit. But perhaps a better plan would be to improve what we teach in schools and require to be taught in homeschools. Flood them with the means to escape, and it will make little difference what sort of religious training they've endured.
Right. Critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all about Richard Dawkins in Britain signing a petition, which is a fabulous segue into our next news story. British poll says religion does more harm than good. This is a story from the 23rd, and thanks to our listener Corey for sending in this link. More people in Britain think religion causes harm than believe it does good, according to a poll published on that day. It shows that an overwhelming majority see religion as a cause of division and tension, greatly outnumbering the smaller minority who also believe that it can be a force for good. The poll also revealed that non-believers outnumber believers in Britain by almost 2-1. It paints a picture of a skeptical nation with massive doubts about the effect of religion on society. 82% of those questioned say they see religion as a cause of division and tension between people. Now, check out that figure, right?
Nice.
82% think religion causes division. Only 2/3 of these people are not religious.
Right.
So there is some significant percentage of people in Britain who think religion causes division, and they're believers anyway.
Right.
Holy crap, that scared the crap out of me. I said crap twice. Three times. The findings are at odds with attempts by some religious leaders to define the country as one made up of many faith communities. Most people have no personal faith, the poll shows. Only 33% of those questioned describe themselves as religious people. A clear majority, 63%, said that they are not religious, including more than half of those who describe themselves as Christian. More than half of those people in Britain who describe themselves as Christian say they're not religious. I wonder what that means. Older people and women are the most likely to believe in a god, with 37% of women saying they are religious compared to 29% of men. That's in keeping with the letter we had on our last episode from the guy who pointed out the statistics showing that, in fact, of the millions of people around the earth that the Pope speaks for, that saying that they're Catholics.
Yeah.
He's really only speaking for the grandmothers of those.
Right.
The findings come at the end of a year in which multiculturalism and the role of different faiths in society has been at the heart of a divisive political debate. But a spokesperson for the Church of England, I'm sorry, a spokesman for the Church of England, denied yesterday that mainstream religion was the source of tension. So he's just one of that 16% of people.
How is
this fucking news? He also insisted that the impression of secularism in this country is overrated. Dude, they did a poll.
Yeah.
63% secular. 63%.
You want to contest the numbers, go ahead, but you better have some sort of evidence.
You also have to bear in mind how society has changed. It is more difficult to go to church now than it was. Oh, that's why. It's harder to get to church.
It's more difficult to go to church?
What, with a church on every street corner?
He goes on to explain, communities are displaced. People work longer hours. It's harder to fit in. It doesn't alter the fact that the Church of England will get 1 million people in church every Sunday, which is larger than any other gathering in the country. Unquote. The Right Reverend Bishop Dunn, Bishop of Hexham and Newcastle, added, the perception that faith is a cause of division can often be because faith is misused for other uses and other agendas. Yeah, so?
I hate that.
You put out this thing that's called faith, and you encourage people to have this thing that's called faith. And then when people misuse it, then that just goes to show that that is the function of faith.
Well,
that is how faith is going to be used.
I have an objection to them saying misuse. Anytime there's something they don't like, or they get busted by showing the nasty side of their religion, that's a misuse of faith. The Inquisition was not a misuse of faith.
Right.
It was an application of Christianity. Yeah. It was a sound justifiable. When the Bible says burn witches and kill people who are heretics,
that's what you do.
That's not a misuse. It's today they're misusing. They have departed from what it meant.
Let me make another analogy. If you hold a handgun in your hand properly and pull the trigger and put a bullet through somebody's heart or brain, you're not misusing the gun. The gun has a function, right?
Right.
You held it properly and you have used it for its purpose. That is not a misuse. Now, it's bad to kill people, right? It is.
Right.
But you're not misusing the handgun. Misusing the handgun is when you hold it by the barrel and you use it to crack open walnuts.
It's a shame that you have to, spell things out to tell people it's bad to kill people. It's because now they just say, well, of course it's bad to kill people. It says in the Bible, thou shalt not kill. Hey, we had to tell you stupid fucks that it was bad to own people. Because your book says it's okay to own people.
Right.
And now you say, well, of course it's okay. It's bad to own people. Well, you know, you're the one that's misusing your religion. Faith is a terrible mechanism for discovering anything about truth or making any decisions about life. If people come to bad conclusions about faith, that's not because they're misusing it. It's evidence that faith is a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Yep. Faith is a bunch of shit. That's a good statement. I think that should be a bumper sticker.
The poll suggests that in modern Britain, religious observance has become a habit reserved for special occasions. Only 13% of those questioned claimed to visit a place of worship at least once a week, with 43% saying they never attended religious services.
Wow.
Blah, 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 blah.
Bully for Britain.
Britain's generally tolerant attitude to religion is underlined by the small proportion who say the country is best described as a Christian one. Only 17% think that. The clear majority, 62%, agree Britain is better described as a religious country of many faiths. except that that's not right. Because when 63% don't practice a religion,
right,
it's not a religious country. It's a country with a minority who have practiced some religion, and there's several of them. Dennis, would you like to do a news?
Oh, sure.
Keep it up, Britain, by the way.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
Airline workers sacrificed camel at airport.
What?
Oh, those silly Kentuckians.
Workers at Turkish Airlines celebrated a job well done by sacrificing a camel at Istanbul Airport, and their boss has now been suspended.
Not Constantinople.
No, I don't think so. It used to be called... Never mind. The national flag
when
carrier
did they get the works, anyway?
Said on Wednesday, maintenance staff killed the camel at Turkey's busiest airport after sending a bunch of aircraft back to the supplier ahead of schedule. Turkish Airlines has suspended the head of plane maintenance pending an investigation, the company said in a statement. Turkish newspapers carried pictures of the camel, two rugs thrown over his hump instead of ahead of Tuesday's sacrifice. They also showed pictures of the beast chopped up into chunks of meat. Top-selling Daily Harriet
Man,
said,
I knew that airline food was
700
bad,
kilos of camel meat were distributed among the workers. Turkish Airlines has accepted last week into the Lufthansa-led Star Alliance. Many Turks slaughter animals, usually sheep or cattle, in an annual Muslim festival called the Festival of the Sacrifice, which falls on early January. All right. But just bizarre, wacky, religious things.
We only got a couple minutes left.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, let me find another story very quickly.
Do we have any more letters saying we're awesome?
No, we had a small amount of listener mail, but it was all pretty slobbery.
We had a we had a month's worth, though. Shouldn't we have twice as much as usual?
If we did last show's, the aborted show, we did that listener mail as well, we wouldn't have had any time for anything else.
Oh.
We aborted a show. We are clearly evil.
Clearly.
I think they're going to have to
write
their letters again.
Blossom into a full show.
It did. Dennis and I were here.
We made the hard decision.
We decided that we didn't want to bring this baby to fruition without you guys.
Well, it would have been born into a family without a mother.
Yeah. Yes, we've been an orphan.
As
I don't know.
All our shows.
I've been called a mother once or twice lately.
Here's something I want to rant on. Something to just get get my gumption up before we start this next year.
Because you've got to get some gumption, man.
Pope Benedict said in his Christmas message that mankind, which has reached other planets and worships technology, cannot live without God or turn its back on the hungry. It is shameful that in this age of plenty and unbridled consumerism, many remained deaf to the heartrending cry of those dying of hunger, thirst, disease, poverty, war, and terrorism. Dude! I absolutely agree that it is shameful for us to remain silent to the heartrending cry of those who die of hunger, thirst, disease, poverty, war, and terrorism. What the fuck has religion got to do with that?
What has it ever done for
them? If you want to feed the hungry, you need technology. You know what you don't need? You don't need some prick in a funny hat telling people they shouldn't use condoms.
No, what you don't need is somebody sitting in the wealthiest district loaded down with gold and art that's been stockpiling money away in order to pay off their pedophile priest lawsuits.
Oh, yeah.
Telling people
point.
They need to give to the poor.
Yeah, and complaining
you
against,
fucking dick.
And complaining against technology. Who is that guy? Is it Martin Borlaug?
Norman Borlaug.
Norman Borlaug. Personally credited with saving lives of a billion people by developing a strain of wheat. That's technology.
Yeah.
He saved a billion people. What the fuck has the Pope done?
And what is this worship technology crap? When I say we don't need the Catholic Church, we need technology, I don't mean we should instead go into, like, IBM buildings and bow down and, you know, drip, like, handfuls of computer chips on our children to baptize them and shit like that. I'm not talking anything like worship. We should recognize technology fucking actually accomplishes something.
It gives us tangible results.
Yeah, all I can say is that when he chose his name, he chose right, because this Pope's been a dick.
Yes. Ba-dum-bum.
Fucking dick.
Oh, man. So, everybody...
I think you just threw out a rat zinger.
Oh! Everybody, thank you for listening. Special thanks to those of you in the chat room. Always great. I see 13 of you. I took 13 listeners at once. I don't know how many are
live.
13 live listeners. Thanks to all of you, too, and to the many hundreds more of you who listen to our show throughout the weeks and months.
Thousands. Thousands.
Millions.
Millions.
Hope you all had a great 2006. We will see you next time in 2007 with another fabulous, not fabulous, what's the word?
Season 6.
Brilliant
episode.
Brilliant!
Of the nonprofits. Keep your hackles up. Don't let these religious morons get away with shit to which they have no right or to go unchallenged.
That's right. Don't tread on me.
And for a New Year's resolution, resolve to do something constructive to help make this world a more rational place. If you don't mind, that might be a good idea.
We're not
bye, everybody.
Orders.
Bye-bye. See ya.
We'll leave you with the Evo.
See ya.
Song.
Have a good New Year.